scale me up, Scotty. Calculate, got me up late. Gotta make another tray for Sunday. Ay, can't wait, not enough bait. Frost on my opponents, gonna call them cupcakes. And it's no hate, just facts. There's just no way I'm last. Technically, I'm last. 101 pick, I'm bad. Bad at the bone, ain't mad at the dome. Ain't rather than know the anatomy. Know a value of roses, dandy to know the man. JPAZ, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
Welcome back. This is the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, back once again after a very, very long hiatus, actually. Actually, Izzy, I was talking a little bit earlier before the podcast. We're such a good podcast that we've been on a bye week since the first week of the first round of the playoffs. How cool is that?
Bye weeks.
Bye weeks, like probably six of them. Six bye weeks.
We had a lot of we had a great season, so we earned a lot of bye weeks.
How good do you got to be to get six bye weeks?
The best.
The best. We're the best. I don't think I do that quite as good as you do.
It's okay. We'll have Mo cue it up.
Don't look at me like that. I will eat your shit.
But yeah, welcome back. It's been a while. We're going to be a little bit rusty, so bear with us. It's going to be, there's going to be some
sounds.
We're
20 seconds in and already gave Mo an extra set of work here by pulling that out, right?
No. I mean, the fact that you stumbled through that sentence probably gave Mo an extra 30 seconds of work.
That's true, too.
Shoot. You are stumbling. You're like the Chris Berman of podcast hosts.
Yeah, my daughter is in here eating pizza. I'm trying to watch the NBA All-Star game, trying to record a podcast for the first time in a month. So expect some rough waters here.
And you're fresh back from Egypt, right? Wasn't that really recent?
Correct. Pharaoh Fantasy had to go back home. I had to find my roots.
Jessica. You went like on one of those spirit walks, right? Just to make sure that you're who you are.
Well, I had to go get re-upped for to keep the name. They were going to strip me of my name, and I had to go reapply for it.
It's like a card, yeah, like a green card. Except for Egypt's, it's a camel card, right?
Camel card, yep.
Those were some pretty awesome shots, though. You had like some pictures of you sitting on a camel, pyramids in the background. So in honor of you being back from Egypt, let's do a new little thing really quick. What's the Egyptian word of the week for the podcast?
Sharmuta.
Sharmuta. I think that's food, isn't it?
Definitely not.
Oh, it sounds like some delicious food. Is it a bad word?
You know the word.
Sharmuta. And I only know Isaac.
No, you know that one. You know that one.
Sharmuta. Shut your mouth.
No.
Are you able to say it? Like, do you have to bleep it? Like, what is it in English?
Okay, it's slut, but in Arabic, it's a lot worse than like slut is here. It's like the worst, whatever the worst thing you can say, call someone here in English is okay. What that is in Arabic.
Well, it's good to hear that we're keeping the show classy at least.
Yeah, for like maybe the two listeners that understand that word, likely from friends that they have that are Arab.
There you go. In fact, most people are going to take this to their one Arab friend to say, hey, listen to this word.
Hey, what is this word?
Yeah. Sharmuta. That's awesome. Well, very good. Maybe we'll do that once in a while here, just like an Egyptian word of the week. Maybe we'll do more of a clean version.
Do you think that'll it'll get us removed off iTunes?
Sharmuta.
It's a question mark. Sharmuta?
We are back. So like really quick, we are back after 6 weeks, and it wasn't because we had bye weeks and it wasn't because we were on vacation in Egypt, but most of it was because we've been really busy spinning our wheels with our development. We've been in development with the calculator tool for the last like 6 months. We've installed some new features. I would encourage subscribers to check it out. And if you're not a subscriber, I would encourage you to go subscribe because it is sweet. Some of the things that we did, we have a league import feature on the calculator where you click league import. You can sign into your My Fantasy League and import all of your league's teams into the calculator to see all their values all up together. And it's a very good tool to kind of give you some ideas for trades. We're currently trying to add Sleeper, Flea Flicker, Yahoo, ESPN. There's a bunch more platforms we're adding to that as well. So check that out. It's awesome. There's also badges. So like if there's recommendations we have for buys, some are hype trains, workhorse, target hog. Like if there's players that we think earn some sort of badge, those will appear on players that we've selected in the calculator. And the last one is we've got our own player card. So by clicking on a player's name or tapping on their name in the calculator once you've entered it, you can see a trend of their values or their player ranks throughout the course of time. And it's kind of a cool way just to look at a course of time and find out exactly where they rank. There's going to be some cool information that's added to those player cards over time, too. So, again, I would encourage you to check that out, DynastyTradeCalculator.com. So with that, we got a couple of topics to cover in the podcast today. We're going to do a new topic. This is kind of cool. I'm excited about this one. It is the top five most searched players in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database. So looking at last week alone, these were the top five guys that people were searching for their trades. So like it's kind of a way for us to gauge who the most hot players are currently. And we're just going to go through them and talk about them. Maybe kind of run down like what we do for a recommendation. Izzy's going to give some takes on each of these guys, and then we're going to go from there. And then last, we're going to finish things off with running back news. Actually, should we start with that? That's kind of a little bit lighter of a topic. Do you want to go through the running back news first, Izzy? It's up to you.
Sure.
Let's do the running back news first. Here we go. The first one is Leonard Fournette. This was something that I saw just today on Roto World. Leonard Fournette might not get his fifth-year option picked up. He comes with a heavy price tag because he was drafted top 10 pick. He's due $10.1 million, I think, in his fifth year. So it's with his injury concerns, some people are wondering whether or not it's likely that he'll be picked up on his fifth-year option or if they'll just kind of let him go on, re-sign him to a contract after his fourth year. What do you think, Izzy? Should we put the He-Gown player badge on him right now?
He should be. I am a huge fan of Leonard Fournette, but I'm also not a huge fan of paying running backs double-digit millions. So I don't think it's that crazy, and I think they should dump him. 10.1's a lot.
Yeah.
It is, and Leonard Fournette is a good running back, but he's not irreplaceable. And I don't think it's not like he makes that engine run. So
and the engine really isn't running lately.
And it's not running. It's on steam. So I think it's true. Once again, all this rumor stuff here, he said, she said.
You should have done your warm-ups with me pre-podcast, man.
I think with this, there is some truth to it just because the draft has so many options and they still have Armstead, who's kind of like a Leonard Fournette light. And then there's a bunch of free agents, so maybe they can get one cheaper. So I wouldn't be surprised if they let him go.
Yeah, and I could see that too. And I think he will play out his fourth season. And I think there's a cutoff somewhere. Is it in March? When do they have to decide on the fifth-year option? I think it's coming up pretty quick. Maybe before the free agent. Actually, that wouldn't make any sense.
No, I don't think so.
It's coming up. It's at some point.
I want to say it's June. That's probably wrong. I want to say it's June 1st, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so it would. Assuming it's early May for each class.
So it's
coming up. They have to make a decision really soon in the next couple of months. So very interesting. Yeah. So yeah, Leonard Fournette. Go ahead.
What happens to his trade value? Like what happens to his value in general? I think he's more valuable on what's weird about. Weird to say this. He's more valuable on the Jaguars than he would be in free agency, correct?
I don't know about that. I wouldn't be able to say that with a lot of confidence.
Well, there aren't that many true, like, workhorse
team situations.
Yeah, team situations that wouldn't likely be filled by a rookie by the time May rolls around. Because that's after the draft.
Yeah.
Because the draft's going to be end of April. Unless they decide early. I don't know. I feel like it would not be a good thing for him. Like if you're a dynasty owner and you have Leonard Fournette, do you want them to pick up his fifth year option or not?
I'm really indifferent about that. I was leaning no before we started talking about it. You got me thinking about it a little bit more. I don't necessarily think that Jacksonville is a great situation for him.
It's a workhorse situation. There's nobody take. We know that the Jags like to just give one guy the ball, which they've been doing, and we can't say the same for another destination.
I guess so. And with the targets in the passing game, like that's pretty crazy what he's getting.
He got 100 targets, right?
Yeah.
So I think
I can't
it'd be
imagine
bad news.
Another team's going to give him that kind of work. That's a good point. So in volume is king, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, but. The weird thing about it is it's not like it would be disastrous for his value if he goes somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, I guess it depends on how much he gets in free agency. If he's getting double digits from somebody else, then yeah, he's probably going to be just fine.
Yeah. And looking at 2019, I mean, that's the thing, is he only carried the ball 265 times. So it wasn't like a ton of carries. 76 receptions. So from a pure touches standpoint, he was
over 20. Over 20 a game.
I mean, that's good. That's a true workhorse, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's bad news if they don't pick it up. For me personally, if I have a Leonard Fournette share and they don't pick it up, I think you could take advantage of people that think it would be a good situation. Odds are it won't be, so I'd move them.
And I'm with you on that. I agree. It's bad news. I don't think it's devastating news, though. But yeah, I agree. It's bad. I'm a little bit less pessimistic about it than you are.
You're with me, right? You're sell Leonard Fournette regardless, correct?
Definitely need to sell Leonard Fournette. In fact, we co-manage a high-stakes dynasty league where we own Leonard Fournette, and we should really be actively shopping him once that league turns back on. So that's Leonard Fournette. We've got another running back situation that we're watching. This is the second of the two topics for the running back talk, and it's specifically centered around the Arizona Cardinals running backs. Specifically, this is the piece of news that I saw in RotoWorld. It's Kenyon Drake is a candidate for a franchise tag coming up because he's a free agent. And they didn't appear to be happy with David Johnson, obviously. But if Kenyon Drake gets that, I feel like it's a feared franchise tag for players. They just don't like to get that. What does this mean for his dynasty value, and what are you doing with your shares?
I don't think they're going to franchise tag him. That number is $12.5 million. So I think they're better off, unless they're really not looking to fill out their cap for this year and they just want him for a one-year rental, which I don't get why that makes sense either. I think they're better off signing him to a, you know, $7-8 million deal for 2 or 3 years with a team friendly out, as opposed to franchise taking him. You think Kenyon Drake's worth $12.5 million?
$12.5 million, well, just for one season. The funny thing is that's about half as much as they're paying David Johnson.
What's David Johnson, 18?
He's up there, man. Like, this is going to be I think he's got a couple years left, and this is, I think he's signed through 2022. It's just wild how much money he's making.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, this is, we talk about this all the time. It's why you don't pay, you know, these high-end running backs. It just backfires. I mean, it's been backfiring like crazy with Lev Bell, David Johnson, Todd Gurley. Those are the big three. And they've all backfired. Now we got Zeke to be determined. But yeah, I mean, 12.5 is a big number for Kenyon Drake.
I agree. And it says, the blurb specifically says re-signing Drake to a long-term deal seems to be the most likely scenario. But they don't want to dismiss the fact that the Cardinals could use their franchise tag on him. But I agree with you. It's kind of an irresponsible move. I don't know that you can say that Kenyon Drake is worth that. That'll probably put him in like top 7-8 money, right, for a running back position?
It would put him in the top 5.
That's a lot of money, yeah. I don't see him doing that either, especially because they got so much money tied up in DJ. They don't have an unlimited salary cap.
And David's on a 3-year 39.
Yeah, wow.
2020 is 10.2. 2021 is 8.
Yeah, that's big money.
His dead cap would be 16.2. Yeah, $30 million was guaranteed. So yeah, that's a big number.
That's not what you want for performance out of a running back that you gave mostly guaranteed money to, right?
Yeah, and it really comes down to, with Kenyon Drake, he's kind of got the hype built behind him, so I'm not a big fan of acquiring a player like that. And with DJ, I think he's become a buy, a pretty safe buy at this point, right?
As
a mid to late second.
Oh, yeah, the risk versus reward that ratio has changed significantly since last year, and he's firmly a buy on my... In fact, the funny thing is I'm trying to use him as throw-ins in bigger trades. That's the strategy I'm employing, so I really like that.
Man, what a decline.
Yeah, right? He's an afterthought now.
I mean, AB, David Johnson, and Todd Gurley were top 5 picks just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? Man.
Maybe even like as little as 12 months ago, right?
Yeah, even Julio's up there, and he's starting to decline as well, not because of production, just because of age.
Yeah.
So it's shit changes in a hurry.
So I got to ask you, if Kenyon Drake gets a long-term deal with Arizona, regardless of whether or not David Johnson's still there, like I heard rumors that they might try to make a trade, which doesn't seem like to be a very attractive contract for another team to pick up. But what would you say that would do for Kenyon Drake's value? And what would you do with your shares?
I don't have any. So that...
All right, so we can move on.
Not applicable, but I think if he gets a long-term deal and it's team-friendly, it's not that appealing to me. I mean, it is nice. I think it gives him work insulation. Like, I doubt they're going to sign him to a deal and then go draft somebody and then split the work. That, to me, doesn't seem like the most sense. David Johnson, I think, got that just because his decline was so aggressive, whether it was because of injury or I don't know. He looked so bad. And there's no way that he looked bad just falling off a cliff at age 27.
Yeah.
It just seems unlikely. So with Kenyon Drake, if he gets a long-term deal and you own Kenyon Drake, you're probably better off holding him than trading him, unless his trade value just goes through the roof and gets into like Aaron Jones territory, then I would consider moving him.
There you go.
Yeah, he'd be more valuable on your team than trading him if he's in the Mark Ingram range.
Yeah, I might agree with that too. And honestly, I think
Philip Lindsay, that type of thing. Yeah.
I think that Cardinals offense is super exciting going into 2020. Like, I'm really interested to see what they do. They're going to be like their ascension is reminiscent of what the Baltimore Ravens did in 2019 for me. So I'm really curious to see how that team responds.
Yeah, they just need to build that offensive line a little bit more, and they need so much work on defense still. But yeah, I mean, if they take that next step and Cliff wants to get the running back involved, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that'll be fun to watch. Fun situation. That's what we got for running back talk. Do you have any final notes before we move on to the next segment?
No, I think it's not just running backs. We're coming into a period where we've never seen so many potential roster-altering, dynasty-altering moves. I mean, look at the probably, 8 to 10 quarterbacks that could be on the move.
Yeah.
I mean, 8 to 10 starting caliber quarterbacks. We could be seeing a third of the league move, which is unreal. And we got a whole bunch of running backs coming up and could be landing in new homes, adding the running back class. And then you have the deepest wide receiver class that we've had in a while. So, man, things are going to change so aggressively. And it's hard to really... You look at our product like the Dynasty Trade Calculator, and we are now starting to track the dynasty values like you had mentioned at the beginning of the show. So we'll be able to see in 2 months what the magnitude of all of these roster shifts are going to make, and I bet it's going to be massive this year.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned quarterbacks too. Like, I wonder if – so you're kind of a betting man. You like to do sports betting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that the line for retiring starting quarterbacks in 2020 is 1.5. Would you take the over or under?
Retiring quarterbacks?
Yes, retiring starting quarterbacks, not just like the random Joes that are buried on a depth chart. Like, we're talking Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Cam. Like, I think Cam Newton needs to be in that conversation. Mm. Aging starting quarterbacks.
So after this year.
After the, yeah, kind of like, well, this, I'm speaking primarily this off season.
No, I think it's under.
Okay.
I think we already would have heard, I think those would have already started to come through, and it doesn't look like Brady, Breeze, Rod, like any of the older Rivers are willing to let go just yet.
They're all just right there though, you know, it's like. Any day, you know, there could be like a domino effect. Like, one retires, there could be four or five of them at once.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Brady, Rivers, Breeze, Big Ben. I think those four are the ones that are most likely to mail it in. And maybe mail it in as in mailing in their retirement paperwork.
Brady, Rivers, Breeze, Big Ben.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers is probably the next closest, but I don't see him going for a couple years.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, Matt Ryan is getting up there. He's 34, I believe.
Yeah.
But now quarterbacks, I think the age is like 38, where you could really start to worry about the retirement number, especially for the higher end ones. But yeah, I think the top four that we mentioned, I could see them not this year, but going away after 2020.
Okay, so next year might be the time then, the age cliff.
It's I mean, I think they're already at the cliff, but
yeah, they'll fall off.
They just need to get pushed off. Yeah,
a little bit of push. So that's good. Let's move into the next and final segment of the podcast. This is the top five most searched players in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database. These are the players that people are entering in trades the most frequently. So it's kind of an interesting thing. So we get to track these things. It's kind of fun to look behind the scenes to see what people are entering and how they're choosing. Even like as far as like league formats, what buttons they're pushing. These are all the players that people are selecting for trade. So that's like in turn, these could be the highest traded players of last week also. Coming at five, I'm going to go backwards just to kind of build some suspense for the number one. But number five is Odell Beckham Jr. entered the fifth most amount of times last week in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database. And really quickly, in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database, he's a 33.4, which is equivalent to the 101 plus change. What are you doing with Odell Beckham Jr.? Because it seems like a lot of people want to know.
It's tough. I like the only reason I like Odell this year is out of all of the potential roster moves and the changes in Dynasty, there's really only a handful of places that seem to have the same structures last year. And when I mean structure, Baker's going to be back, Chubb is going to be back, Landry's going to be back, Odell's going to be back. So it's like you have
Brady Kitchens is going to be back. Wait a minute.
Yeah, but that's important, but you're not likely to see the Browns acquire a receiver, draft a receiver, you know, make a change to their quarterback. Like that isn't going to change. So they're going to have the same situation as last year. And the only thing that, I mean, their offense was so bad last year that a coaching change like that that's happened could only be viewed as a positive.
Yeah.
So I think he's a good buy right now. I don't think you have to pay the 101 for him, especially as we inch closer and closer to the draft. You should be looking to acquire OBJ in like a draft day deal.
And this is cool. We get to like evaluate things historically here. So looking at last June 2019, his value was 50.4, and currently, like I said, it's 33.4. So he's gone down almost an entire mid first round pick. So before, it would cost the 101 plus another mid first. And now he's dropped down to basically just that 101 plus some change. He was ranked as the wide receiver 2 in June last year, and now he's currently sitting as a wide receiver 8. So he's given you some room for progression if you decide you want to buy quote unquote low on him.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And here's an interesting thing. I would say if we pulled Twitter, the 101 would beat out OBJ, correct?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I would say it's pretty close. Like the pick hype is at an all-time high right now on Twitter.
Right.
So I would say it's possible.
But OBJ is being drafted in the top 15 in startups.
Yeah.
Is
the 101 is not. No.
It's not, right? Swift is not in the top 15 yet.
No. Swift is not. It may be like if you could have the picks themselves and not the players.
That's true.
In a startup, I wonder if the 101 might go higher than Swift.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would. But yeah, so I think right now getting a top 15 pick, and I think he's very polarizing. So a lot of owners, I think, have given up on him. So you might be able to squeeze him out for a little bit less than that value. I think you could get a nice little discount on OBJ.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good point. I'm really curious. We might have to tweet out that poll coming up. That's an interesting question that you got there.
What are you doing with OBJ?
I had him in the league last year. I sold him mid-year when they were kind of descending. I sold both OBJ and Baker in a single trade where I acquired Mahomes. It was a big package. Pretty happy about that. That was when Mahomes was hurt. The guy that I was trading to wanted to buy low, thinking that would rebound that this year and he could continue to compete. And I think that worked out a little bit better for me. But right now, I agree with you. I think that he's a buy. I'm a little bit hesitant, though, because I just don't know what to expect from Baker anymore, and Jarvis is sticking around too for a little while, it looks like.
Yeah.
Jarvis might be the guy to own. He's half the price and he's getting more targets, right?
I was just gonna say, if you look at their target share and just their performances, Jarvis was significantly better and he's significantly cheaper. And not only that, but if you really peel back the onion on OBJ, he's been relatively disappointing the last few years. I mean, in 2017, he got hurt. In 2018, he had 1,006. And then 2019 at 1,004. And you're still having to pay top 20 premium to acquire him. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, especially with the upside there. And if you really consider situations the last few years, it's been kind of brutal. So if you believe in Baker's, resurgence, and if you believe that the coaching staff is going to be a positive for him, then yeah, he's a good buy. But with the lack of performance, Jarvis outplaying him, and the injury history, I can see why somebody would say, I'm not touching OBJ with a 10-foot pole, even with the discount.
Yeah, you kind of play devil's advocate with your own self. And actually, I agree with the not buying Izzy, I think. I don't think I would buy.
I can see it.
I think there's a point at which he could become a buy this offseason, though, because he is still continuing to descend. So, like, if he just keeps going down more and more, I'm looking at a couple mock drafts right now. He was taken at 30 at his lowest point in one of them. That's the point where I really start to consider, like, converting my belief in,
really?
In being a buy. Yeah.
So at what point in a startup do you pull the trigger on OBJ?
I wouldn't take him in the second. I would depending on what pick I had in the third is where I would.
You wouldn't really take him in the second.
I wouldn't take him in the second. There's enough guys where I'd take ahead of him.
Really? Name the guys in the bottom half of that second.
So some of these I don't agree with, but maybe I'll go a little bit further out. So into the third, I'll stick to the script like you asked, just to play by the rules, and then I'll go further. Stephon Diggs was 24th. AJ Brown, Amari Cooper,
Diggs or OBJ?
I like OBJ better than Diggs because I'm not a big Diggs guy.
Okay, OBJ or Cooper?
Cooper.
Okay, keep going.
AJ Brown is the other one, and I would probably choose AJ Brown because his value is so hot right now from his hype that I know that I could trade him for something. I could get more than what I could get from OBJ currently.
Okay,
in a trade. Kittle, I don't know about that. I'm not big on tight ends that early in a draft, but I understand it. Aaron Jones, I would take OBJ ahead of Aaron Jones.
Okay.
DJ Moore, I'd probably do DJ there. Josh Jacobs, I would take Jacobs. Henry, I'd take Henry, and then it's OBJ, and everything ahead of him I would clearly take.
Besides Diggs and...
Everything in front of OBJ, like earlier than OBJ, I would take, and then all those one behind, there's probably only like two to four I wouldn't take, but there are some that are going in the third round I would take ahead of him. One of them being, would you take Cortland Sutton or OBJ? I really like Sutton.
Yeah, that's the issue. I really like Sutton as well. Yeah, I mean, if somebody tells me you can't trade and you have to pick one for the rest of the way, I'm taking Sutton.
And then Mahomes came in at 28. I would honestly, seriously, in a one quarterback format, consider Mahomes ahead of OBJ at this point.
Really?
Yeah, it's like it's the ultimate, like, set it and forget it quarterback versus like a head case wide receiver that I have no idea what's going to happen with him.
I don't know. You just can't. In a one quarterback league, you just can't. I mean, it's so easy to acquire quarterbacks in a one quarterback league that I don't think you have to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying I would consider it though.
Yeah. Would you take Galladay or OBJ?
I'm not too high on Galladay yet. I mean, I'm still watching, and I understand he's really good. People like him a lot, but I would go OBJ there. He's just worth a lot more.
What about Miles Sanders?
I would really consider Miles right there. I like Miles, and I think that currently it's not a good choice to take Miles ahead of OBJ, like in a startup, because of value sake. But Miles, I anticipate throughout the course of, at some point this season, he's going to be within a point or two of OBJ, if not surpass him. That's my prediction. So, like, from a future projection, I would take Miles.
Gotcha. Okay. And OBJ in the calculator is a mid-second round value.
For startup, yeah.
For startup.
Yeah.
Right ahead of DJ Moore, Sutton, Henry, Kittle, Juju, AJ Brown,
yep.
Kenny Galladay. So, and most of those guys you'd rather have over OBJ.
Yeah, at this point, yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, yeah, that's OBJ. Wow, we really exhausted him. We got almost like a little bit of lightning round to get through these last guys, but
okay.
I want to try to save some more for the end here, but coming in at number four, most searched player in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database, Alvin Kamara. What do you think about Alvin being there that high?
I'm not surprised at all. I think he's he's the one where I can see somebody saying, yeah, I still think he's a top 5-6 dynasty asset, and I can see somebody saying I wouldn't touch him in the first round. Yeah. Last year was kind of odd. I mean, it took him, I tweeted this out, it took him like 700 minutes to score, what was it, four touchdowns or whatever it was. And then he scored four touchdowns in like 75 minutes. In a game and a quarter, he scored four, I think it was five. It was a really odd season for Alvin Kamara. And if you look at his 2018 versus 2019, there really wasn't a whole lot of difference in his workload. I mean, if you look at his, what's funny, if you look at 2017, do you know how many receptions he had in 2017?
106.
He had 81.
Oh, I'm thinking targets. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 100 targets, 81 receptions, 5 touchdowns, 826 yards. Do you know how many receptions he had in 2018?
2018? I think it went up, so I'll say like 91.
No, 81. 105, 105 targets, 81 receptions, 709 yards, 4 touchdowns. So everything went down besides his receptions.
Okay.
2019, how many receptions did he have?
46.
Incorrect. 81. So no way. 97 targets, 81 receptions, 533-1.
So he's getting the same work, you're saying, in the past.
He's getting his target was between 97 and 105 in the 3 years. So the variance there is almost none. His receptions were 81, 81, 81. But his yards were 533 to 826, which is massive. So his yards per reception, 6.6 to 10.2. And he had one touchdown in 2019 and 5 in 2017, 4 in 2018.
Jeez.
And then if you look at his 2018 versus 2019 in terms of rushing touchdowns, and this is what people, when they talk about regression, touchdown regression, this is it. I mean, he had 18 total touchdowns in 2018 and he had 6 in 2019. And the only difference was about 250 total yards.
So he's just showing us what Aaron Jones is going to do in 2020.
Which is kind of my point. I think, is Aaron Jones in the top 5 most searched?
He's not, but okay. That's just a fun little extra bonus nugget.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised. But and he did this in one less game. So if you look at Alvin Kamara, it's a touchdown thing. It wasn't a volume production efficiency issue. It was purely a touchdown issue.
Do you expect a bounce back, positive regression?
Yeah, I think 6 touchdowns is a little light. I mean, he's been so filthy consistent. I mean, 728 in 2017, 883 in 2018, 797 in 2019 in terms of rushing yards. And then his receiving production is very close, outside of the huge dip in yardage relative to his other 2 years.
Right.
But he's getting consistent work the past 3 years, and the concern with him is this really his ceiling? Are they just going to limit him to, 250 touches, and it's mostly going to be receptions? Yeah. Which people look at that as a concern. We talked about this a little bit on Twitter, I think you and I, or maybe in person. I actually really love the way that they use Alvin Kamara because it's going to help him with longevity. When you look at second contracts for players, Alvin Kamara, I think, is going to be worth a second contract because of how versatile he is and how likely he is to stay healthy and perform his second contract.
There you go. So I think summing it up, Alvin Kamara would be a very safe buy for your recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, if you got league mates that are going to value him outside of the first round, I think he's a pretty safe buy and a likely, 10 touchdown candidate coming up this year with similar production.
There you go. And just taking a look at historical values, June 2019, he was valued as a 50.3, and now currently he's dipped down to 46.9. So not a massive delta there, but there's enough of a window maybe where you can buy safely and just bet on him being able to have some positive regression in 2020.
Yeah, and I'm less concerned about the 50 to 46 number. The whole thing with player values is if the trend is downwards, there's going to be opportunity to buy at a much cheaper rate.
Mm-hmm.
When the trend is upward, you're going to have to pay a premium.
Yep.
So even though it's only a 4
plus,
it's only a 4-point difference potentially in trade value,
It's a downward trend.
Yeah, it's a downward trend that you can buy into for a lot cheaper than the four-point difference.
There you go. And that's Alvin Kamara. Next one, the third most searched player in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database was Joe Mixon. He comes into the calculator as valued as a 37.0. That's equivalent to a 101 plus like an early second, maybe even like a late first. But Joe Mixon, his value has come up. So it's a little bit of a different story from Alvin Kamara. What about Joe Mixon? Talk to us about him.
Dude, was there a player that had a bigger swing in value in terms of rebounding to elite value again than Joe Mixon? Can you take me through his September to December ADP or December to now?
Yeah.
Not ADP, but value.
Yeah, I can. It's not as staggering as you would have thought, because I wonder if he made a lot of his movement in the middle of months. Maybe that's what it is.
Okay.
I'm looking at June 2019. He was valued as a 43.3 in the calculator, and then July 43.4. Yeah, I'll get to September. 43.4 in September,
mm-hmm.
And then he swung down October 39.7, 33.4 in November.
So 33.4. I mean, that's a late first, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's like currently the not a late first, an early first, but you mean your startup value?
Yeah. In terms of the amount lost.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The difference between
value lost. Yeah.
Yeah. And then December, he started to go back up a little bit, trending up 34.1, 34.4, and then finished off currently in February at 37.1. So he's rebounded most of his value that he was at from June last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, 43 to 30 or whatever it was is a pretty big swing. I don't know. So I was a big buyer of Joe Mixon preseason. I was a buyer of him during the middle of his downward little trend in value. But I think I think the Burrow effect, right? That's all
yeah.
It is.
Yeah, that's true. Yep, so, you might be right. That's probably what's going on here.
He did finish with a bang in week 17 of this last December. But do you believe that Joe Burrow is going to change Joe Mixon's production?
I do, yes. I think that Joe Burrow is going to change the offense's production, and I think Joe Mixon gets a positive impact.
Okay.
And maybe I'm speaking rhetoric, but I don't think that Burrow could hurt the situation. I don't think it's going to be status quo. So, I mean, the only alternative is that there's going to be an improvement. What do you
think?
Got you.
Yeah, I don't think I agree. I don't think it could hurt. So the fact that he did finish as a probably, if you take out this week 17. My guess is he finished right outside of an RB1 range. He finished 16th overall at running back position. So I think he can easily be a top 10 running back in 2020 with Burrow. I just don't know if he can climb into the top five.
Yeah, I agree.
So you're kind of looking at it and saying, with Joe Mixon, how close is he to his production ceiling with what you're buying now?
Yep, I agree.
But I like Joe Mixon a lot. I just don't know if the offense with Burrow, they need to rebuild that offensive line as well. It's not enough to just have Burrow. They need to rebuild the offensive line, and then he can ascend in the top five. Because from a talent perspective, he's beyond elite, in my opinion.
There you go. Two more players to cover really quick. I'll finish things off with Joe Mixon on this. So I'm looking at ADP September. He was drafted at an average draft position at 16.5. October, 16.5. November 26.5, he dipped full 10 picks, 27.75 December, and just like we were talking about in January 2020, his ADP spiked back up to 12.33, so higher than he was in September. So that's pretty wild.
It's big.
Like, I don't think I've ever seen a player rebound value after, maybe I guess that's the week 17 plus Burrow news together, I'm sure. So
yeah, I mean, 24 week 14, week 15, week 17 were solid.
Yeah. All right. The number two most searched player in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database, Deebo Samuel. I think that's not a surprise because of how he finished in the playoffs and the end of the season. He's currently ranked as a 20.5 for value in the Dynasty Trade Calculator, which is equivalent to a 105. Let's see. He's in between a 105 and a 106, like right at the median there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Deebo Samuel being searched that many times?
I think it's about right, just because with Deebo, he's kind of like the AJ Brown light in terms of the excitement surrounding him. The issue I have with Debo is we're buying into his playoff production. So, and sometimes that works out and sometimes it doesn't. I don't know if they're going to roll Debo Samuel with Emmanuel Sanders being their wide receiver two next year. Pettis was a bust. You got to assume they bring somebody in. Does that change Debo Samuel's production in 2020?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm a big fan of Debo Samuel. I like him a lot. I just don't know if I'm going to get behind him climbing into the 105, 104 range in pick value. I think it's a little too aggressive.
And that's cool, too. Looking at his value last June, he was 10.1, and now he's finished. He's currently at a 20.5. So he's one of the few players that have literally doubled their value since last year after he was drafted. So that's pretty impressive.
You could have had him for a second-round pick at the beginning of the year.
Literally, yeah. And that's where he was being drafted, late first, early second.
Yeah.
In rookie drafts. So very good. That's Debo Samuel. Last guy, this is the number one most searched player in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database, Miles Sanders. I wish I could say the numbers on the podcast here, but he was searched so many times, it almost broke. The calculator was smoking after I looked this
you
one up.
You can't say the number?
How many times he was searched?
Yeah.
Last week alone, it was in six figures. It was in the six figures.
Really?
How about that?
It's a big number.
That's how many instances he was searched. So from last June, valued at 17.1. Finishing up February being valued at 27.2, and I still think that's a little bit low for how much I value him. Miles Sanders being searched a ton. People want to know what to do with Miles Sanders as you help him out.
Yeah, you know how much I love Miles Sanders. He was my RB1 coming into 2019. And I wrote a rookie breakdown of him before the season. And my concern was with Doug Peterson and the fact that Jordan Howard was there. And I did say that if Jordan Howard got hurt, he had league winning potential.
Yeah.
And it's what happened, and his value skyrocketed because of it. Now, my issue for 2020 is that Doug Peterson is still there. I don't expect him to hand somebody the job. They even got Boston Scott involved quite a bit. At the end of the season, Miles Sanders was just there with a lot of touchdowns, and his volume was so high because Boston Scott was the RB2.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of a trap with Miles Sanders. I think if you're expecting, you know, the high ceiling with a full workload, I don't think it's going to be it. I really don't. You have plenty of players that you could be drafting in that top two round range that are going to get significantly more volume, and they're going to provide you more upside for the season. So I think right now he's getting close to sell range, as much as I like him.
I disagree.
And it's not a Miles Sanders issue. It's a I don't believe in Doug Peterson issue, because he did the same thing with Jamal Charles, you know, when Charles was going into his age 27, 28 season. So maybe people viewed it as he was his decline, but I don't think Charles was declining at 27, 28. I just think that Doug Peterson, as the OC, was against giving somebody the full load.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm a little bit sad that you feel that way, but I disagree. I think his efficiency was reminiscent of what we saw from Alvin Kamara's rookie season. And the same concerns people had for Alvin Kamara that season was with Mark Ingram and Jordan Howard coming back, right, for Philadelphia. And that's you don't think he's going to get the same type of volume that he would, but Miles Sanders' ascension is undeniable, and I don't think that Peterson can deny him the ball. He was only given the ball rush. He only rushed 179 times. He caught 50 passes, and I could see that those numbers. I could see him into the 200s for rushing attempts, and somewhere around that, like Alvin Kamara, 81 catches. Like he's just really good in the passing game. So I anticipate a big spike in value, and I could see him being somewhere like in the high like 30s or low 40s for value after the season has begun.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like it. So Jamal Charles in 2014 with Doug Peterson calling shots only had 206 carries, and that was he was averaging still 5 yards a clip.
And that's fine. Like, how did Jamal Charles finish that season? I don't need more than 206 carries.
He had 200 carries for 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns, 40 receptions for 291 yards receiving, and 5 touchdowns.
Then I think that Miles will be used more in the passing game than that. He already was, like, this in his rookie season.
Yeah, the year prior, in 2013, Jamaal Charles had 104 targets for 70 receptions. In 2014, it basically got cut in half.
Gotcha. And I see something more like that 2013 season from Miles Sanders next year.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm an optimistic. I think that he's actually low right now, and you're thinking about buying. So we'd be good trade partners, which is totally fine.
Yeah, I'm thinking about selling. Yeah, I think if you view Miles Sanders in a Alvin Kamara role, I agree. And if you expect that kind of efficiency, sure. I think he's definitely got some ascension to him. I get worried when I know that the volume ceiling is limited. I think the odds are definitely not in his favor to provide top 20 production with that limited of workload. I mean, very few players can do that.
So you're buying Kamara with similar volume, and you're selling Miles that's lower value with similar volume.
I've seen Kamara with that low of volume be a top 5 running back.
And I'm saying, like, I think Miles can do that. And I think the important thing with Dynasty is to be ahead of that curve, because Miles is not going to cost you Kamara price.
He's not. You're right, but why do we just assume that Miles is going to do that? I mean,
it's not an assumption. It's basically a bet. Like, when you make a bet, you're assuming to a degree, but that's just, it's my bet.
Okay, that's fair. So. That's fair. Yeah, I mean, yeah. What did he have? He had 180, 800 yards, 3 touchdowns, and then 50 receptions for 500 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I could see his touchdowns going up significantly and some of the receiving work going up. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. I'm just not comfortable with him going in the top 20.
Cool. And like I said, this is a great situation because we would become, like, great trade partners, and that's how trades are made, like good trades, you know. So I would do it.
Yeah. I love my. I hope I'm wrong, because I really like him.
Yeah. Let's see how it pans out here. So that was it. That was the end of the segment and the end of the podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. Izzy, do you have any final words of wisdom? I got one last thing I'll say. And my one last thing is one sentence, and I'll let you finish off the podcast, and we'll close things out. My one thing is, buy Juju Smith-Schuster. Buy that guy.
Yeah, and my suggestion would be to buy Diontae Johnson.
Ooh. Kind of a point-counterpoint there.
I mean, kind of to your point about Jarvis Landry and OBJ.
Yeah.
You can get Diontae Johnson for a fourth of the price of Juju Smith-Schuster.
I like that. That's actually some interesting stuff. Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
That's all Izzy's got. That's all I got. And that's all that we got. Thank you once again for tuning in this week. We'll try to be more regular this offseason. We're going to start talking to some rookies. We're going to bring on some new and inspiring guests. We're going to go through some of the free agent talk really soon. I think that might be next week, actually. So tune in as we go through this offseason. Enjoy it with us. By the way, this is where dynasties are built. So tune in every single week. We'll have new podcast topics for you. So thank you for listening. Bye. Bad at the bone, ain't mad at the domain. Rather than know the anatomy, know a value of roses. Dandy to know the man, JPAZ. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. into the calculator to see all their values all up together. And it's a very good tool to kind of give you some ideas for trades. We're currently trying to add Sleeper, Flea Flicker, Yahoo, ESPN. There's a bunch more platforms we're adding to that as well. So check that out. It's awesome. There's also badges. So like if there's recommendations we have for buys, some are hype trains, workhorse, target hog. Like if there's players that we think earn some sort of badge, those will appear on players that we've selected in the calculator. The last one is we've got our own player card. So by clicking on a player's name or tapping on their name in the calculator once you've entered it, you can see a trend of their values or their player ranks throughout the course of time. It's kind of a cool way just to look at a course of time and find out exactly where they rank. There's going to be some cool information that's added to those player cards over time, too. So, again, I would encourage you to check that out, DynastyTradeCalculator.com. Izzy is really trying his best.
I tried.
I am unwavering. So
amazing. That'll all get cut out of here, so nobody will know what
Let's
the hell's
go.
Going on. Good
so
job.
With that, we got a couple. What's that?
That was amazing.
With that, we got that was super loud, by the way. Lisi is very loud, like very close to your mic.
No, she's not. She's actually pretty far away.
It was very loud. Maybe you've got your mic turned the wrong way and it's
I'm very impressed.
There we go.